All right, and what is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, and we are continuing on. We are getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL draft. Last week, we were just under a month away. Now we are just a mere weeks away. It's officially on the calendar now that we are into April. The NFL draft kicks off on April 27th. If you didn't miss, or if you missed last week's episode, on Monday on WSO 89.3, we had our most recent Slaw's 2.0 NFL mock draft. And then on Friday, we were joined by Matt Laguza on the show to break down the quarterback prospects. You can find the highlights and clips from that episode and the full episode on YouTube at the Slaw Sports Show or on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast, also at the Slaw Sports Show. And today, here live on the show, in studio, we have Matt Laguza joining us today. Matt, how is it going, man?
It's going great. Nice early morning here on Monday, getting ready to go, and excited to talk about some wide receiver prospects today.
Yep, wide receivers today, and you know, this is obviously, outside of quarterbacks, probably the most anticipated episode and most anticipated prospects, because, you know, fantasy football managers out there, they want to see the new wide receivers, they want to see the new fits inside of new offenses. A lot of big names at the wide receiver position. But this year, you know, we talked about it a little bit on Friday. Not the greatest class in terms of what we've seen the last few years, but still some guys out here who are first-round talent. And, you know, just comparatively, last 2 years we saw some phenomenal wide receiver classes come through. Justin Jefferson came into the league. Ja'Marr Chase came into the league. You know, the offensive rookie, actually that was 3 years ago.
3 years ago,
Jefferson, so the last 3 years have been really good. Offensive rookie of the year last year, you know, Garrett Wilson from your New York Jets, Chris Olave, Christian Watson as well, Drake London. So some great wide receivers have come into the league and a lot of first-round talent. What do you think of this class and some of these guys that can, you know, potentially fill up into that expectation set for them the last 3 years?
I mean, the class still has tons of potential. We've seen what these guys can do. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson, Jordan Addison. We've seen that these guys have the potential to be stars in the NFL. It just doesn't have the hype that we've seen over these past 3 years, as you mentioned. There is no big-time guy. Any of these guys can be the first wide receiver off the board. One of these guys could go top 10. The first guy could also go in the 20s. We really don't know what it is. There's no one that just jumps off the board and just takes someone and say, we need this guy. This is the guy we need. I feel like it's all going to depend on team needs, what kind of wide receiver they want, because we've seen there are bigger guys, there are smaller guys. Someone has Zay Flowers as their number one, someone has Quentin Johnson as their number one, someone has Jackson Smith and Jigba. There is no clear-cut 1, 2, 3 in this class, but there's still a lot of depth. So it's going to be exciting to see how many wide receivers go in the first round this year. There could be 5. There could be 3. We don't know. I think it's definitely not as good as the past 3 years, but it still has tons of potential.
I think this year, comparatively, honestly shapes out pretty decent to last year in terms of what you're just talking about with no one really is that number one.
Yep.
I mean, last year we had Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Drake London, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, and Jahan Dotson all go in the first round. And there wasn't a single person who may have had the same rankings as someone else with those, you know, what, six guys that went into the first round. No one ranked them, ranked those top six the same.
Yep.
And I think that's the same way this year. You know, you talked about you have, you know, Zay Flowers as your top wide receiver. Some people have Jackson Smith and Jigba as their top wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Some people like a bigger bodied in Quentin Johnson, you know, a traditional X wide receiver. So like last year, there's not only a lot of variety in where you have them ranked, but the players themselves, in terms of what they bring as a wide receiver, because this is a very versatile position. You know, you have a lot of different wide receiver types that you can have. You have, you know, your traditional slot guys. You can have your downfield burners, you know, Christian Watson, Jameson Williams last year. You have your big body possession wide receivers. A lot of, you know, that different variety in this year's class as well to look into. And that's, you know, kind of exciting to see coming to the league.
No, for sure. And I mean, I think the main difference is last year we talked about those six guys. We were like, all right, we don't know which is going to go first, but these guys are all first-round wide receivers. This year, these guys are so different. The question is, are they going to go in the first round? That's the big difference here, and I think this class could be just as good as we've seen in the last 3 years, just depends on the situation. And, I mean, these guys could just end up being underrated. A lot of these guys could end up going second round and have a chip on their shoulder. So we'll see what happens.
All right, so Matt, first up, the wide receiver we're going to talk about first. He's my wide receiver one. I know you talked about you have Flowers as your guy, but a guy who comes from an absolute farm system in college football out of Ohio State. We're going to talk about Jackson Smith and the Jigba. And, I mean, some of the wide receivers who, I mean, I talk about the farm system that have come out of Ohio State. I mean, I talked about last year, Garrett Wilson, you know, Chris Olave. Come out of it, Jameson Williams as well, I believe, also out of Ohio State. You know, you go longer, I mean, Michael Thomas as well, and there's still some more out there, but it seems like they're wide receiver U. And even next year, Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out as well. But the guy this year that's coming out is going to be Jackson Smith Njigba, the first guy we talk about on the board today. And he, you know, pretty much a lost season in 2022. Yep. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about is what we saw in 2021 with Olave, with Garrett Wilson on that offense. But an outstanding route runner, separator, to off the charts. And he's actually really intelligent compared to some of the other wide receivers that have come through there. And just continues to always do the right things. You know, his hands, exceptional hands, ball skills, focus at the catch point. Doesn't have the top end speed.
No.
And also doesn't have the, you know, move around the formation versatility. He was a slot weapon, primarily in the slot at Ohio State. It was where they mainly used that guy within their offense, and pretty much where he's going to stick once you get into the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's got the potential to be the best out of the three wide receivers that you mentioned so far with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. He's got tremendous potential. It just, an NFL team needs to be able to unlock it and use him in the right way. As you mentioned, he's pretty much primarily a slot guy. I'm sure with his size and his ability, he could convert to an outside guy, but I think if you're an NFL team, you're drafting him to be a slot receiver. That's what you have to do. And, I mean, that's one of the questions. Where is he going to get drafted because of that? Do you want to be locked into just that slot receiver? But as you mentioned, 2022, pretty much a lost season, so we're going to 2021. We were talking about this before the show. His last five games of 2021, he averaged 192 receiving yards a game. That kind of explosive ability is absolutely insane. He had 321 yards in a single game in 2021. So that's the kind of guy that you're getting. You're getting a big physical receiver who, as you mentioned, doesn't have top-line speed, but still can get up there and extremely athletic, great on the deep balls. He's a special player.
So some stats for it. 88% of his routes came out of the slot. During his time at Ohio State.
That's a high percentage.
And, I mean, they did, you know, move him around a lot of pre-snap stuff, so it's not just like he was, you know, solely, you know, sit in the slot and go with it. But also, like, we talk about a slot guy. We're not talking about, you know, a small, you know, a Randall Cobb or – and there's a player like that, you know, who is that type of slot receiver in this draft that we'll talk about later, but he's more of the Jacoby Myers, Julian Edelman-esque wide receiver, like a slot receiver where he can still make a big play if he needs to. He's not just, you know – move the chains type of slot receiver. So we'll pull up now, Matt, some film on Jackson Smith and the Jigba. Let's go through some of the highlights in the film here. So this one, I mean, we saw some of it on Friday during the C.J. Stroud highlights that we had from 2021. But here we have, so like I said, moving around the formation, starting on the right side in the slot, put him in motion. And on this play, handed off to him on a jet sweep, gets around the edge, great block, and just, you know, takes it way down the field. I mean, past the 30, past the 25, close to the 20. So a big play there where, you know, they just put him in motion, put the ball in his hands, easily translatable with a lot of offenses. Here, a bunch, you know, trips set to the left. He's on the far inside slot, runs a wheel route. I mean, the defense is lost.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. They're three guys right there, one guy in the flats, one guy going in the middle, no one on the guy, you know, right at the numbers, streaking down the field, easy touchdown. So he loses, you know, a lot of coverages, and they have him in zone. He has a good, you know, feel for the field in that way. They're just a quick, you know, again, put the ball in his hands, pretty much a little bubble route. But, you know, just looking through it as a skill standpoint, what do you like best out of Smith Najigba in terms of what he's going to bring as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that I'll tell you is his ability to get off the line and create separation without the top-end speed is absurd. He's got all the skill that you need in that first 3 yards to be able to be a top-line receiver. And one thing, you were talking about that trip set earlier, how he was able to just completely confuse the defense. That's actually one of the things I was concerned about last year with Olave and Wilson. I was like, Ohio State has one of the best offensive schemes when it comes to wide receivers in college football. And I was thinking, they go into the NFL, are they going to be able to have this same kind of production without having to have the scheme that they have? Jackson Smith and Jigba has shown that, you know, you can do it. They don't have those three-headed monster that they had in 2021. They still have Marvin Harrison, but there is no question about it. Jackson Smith and Jigba is that guy. And even though he didn't play that much this season, he was still able to show what they could do.
Yeah, and even, you know, without the top-end speed, there's some plays on here where, you know, it's not man coverage where he's, you know, burning past a cornerback in the safety, but, you know, they put it on him in space, like in this play, right here. Yeah, he can make, you know, a, you know, turn a 15-yard route into a 30, 40-yard play after the catch with his legs. But a lot of it, though, is manufactured touches, you know, getting it to him quick in the, quick passing game, you know, whether it's a quick out. You know, that one, a drag across the field with a bootleg, but, you know, some screens as well, just the manufactured touches in space, getting him the ball and then letting him make something happen after the catch. Not really the deep downfield runner, and type of receiver, but some, you know, a lot of teams do like this and, you know, want to add this into their offense. You know, I think especially the Green Bay Packers, and even, the New England Patriots, who lost, you know, a similar type of receiver in Jacoby Myers, like I talked about. You know, they've loved that type. Julian Edelman.
Yep.
Those are the two comparisons I gave for them.
Yep.
Both two former Patriots players. But, I mean, the Packers, they had their deep downfield guy in Christian Watson. They have, you know, their possession guy in Romeo Doubs. Jackson Smith and Jigba could make sense with the 15th overall pick.
I was going to say, there's a lot of teams between 10 and 20 that would love to have Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I think it's all going to depend on who's available at that spot, because as you mentioned, the Packers, there are a few positions of need there. I mean, even the New York Jets, they could do it. There's, you know what they need. They need an offensive lineman. That's their main need probably right now. If one of those top two guys aren't available, why not go get Aaron Rodgers another weapon? I mean, the Tennessee Titans, if they don't have their quarterback there, they don't have the offensive lineman they want, why not go add another weapon for whoever's going to be the quarterback there? There are so, and you mentioned obviously the Packers and the Patriots and stuff like that. There are so many teams that could need a wide receiver. It's just all going to depend on who's available and is this wide receiver more valuable to them than getting their second or third choice at a different position. And Jackson Smith and Jigba is that kind of guy. He could be worth going for.
All right. That pretty much sums it up, Matt. Way to put the hammer on the head there and end it out there with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Next up, we're going to go with the premier big-bodied possession guy in this year's class out of TCU, 6'4", 215, that he was charted at, Quentin Johnston. This is a guy with, I mean, for his size, he has very surprising burst and acceleration for his size and can do a lot. He has some short area quickness that he excels at. Again, for his size, it's pretty good to see. And TCU ran a lot of that traditional, you know, college-type offense, a lot of quick passing game, RPOs, quick screens to their wide receivers, not really, you know, big plays and, you know, big, you know, ripping the ball across the field and, you know, the crossers, the deep crossers, the, you know, verticals down the field that we see in an NFL offense. But he can add that to his game and get into that. The one thing I do have a knock on of Quentin Johnston just as a wide receiver guy, body catches. Every catch that we're going to pull up was pretty much a body catch. The guy could not get his hands out in front of the football and make a secured catch. A guy like Aaron Rodgers has been adamant about hating players who catch the ball with their body. I mean, Amari Rodgers, Josiah DeGuara does that for the Packers, just what I'm speaking from personally. And Rodgers hates that. And he's a very open quarterback. Other NFL quarterbacks probably feel the same way. So that is something that Johnston has to fix going into this next level. Is the body catches, but there's still a lot to like about what this guy brings and what he showcased at TCU.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, body catches is one thing. The second thing that I would say, I know we're talking about weaknesses right now, real early in this, but his ability to make contested catches. He is supposed to be the premier big man in this depth in this class of wide receiver, he just doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are, what, 6'2", or 6'3", 208. I expect you to be able to go up and make a contested catch. He's, I mean, there's a reason he's my wide receiver 3 or 4 in this class right now, and got the other guys over him. His main job is going to be able to get up and make contested catches. He can't do that. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. As you mentioned, plenty of positives for him here. Plus, great size, good speed on the outside. He's actually really consistent in his intensity off the line. So that's pretty good there. I mean, the main thing, he just got to be able to make the contested catches. I mean, if he can't do that, then why waste first-round pick on a guy that's 6'3"?
Yeah.
Go for someone else at that point, because you're using him for his size, and if he can't use his size, why?
Yeah, and there is, there were some, questionable calls of where, he's struggling a little bit with his route running, in man coverage, and also pressing on the line of scrimmage, where at 6'3", 208, you would think a guy his size would be able to get off the line of scrimmage, and he has had some issues with that in the past. But also, just how they used him at TCU, primarily X receiver. Like I talked about, he's your X guy, far left wide receiver. Some slot work he did have, but honestly just a straight line guy. And 25% of receptions also came on screen passes from, these stats come from Hayden Winks at Underdog Fantasy. Shout out to those two guys. But, I mean, he's also only 21 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, so a lot of this you can build into the wide receiver. Get this guy in the jugs machine. Get those hands stronger. Start catching some balls with your hands.
Yep.
Get in the weight room and learn how to, fight off the line of scrimmage. And there's a lot that you can make out of them. And the other thing, 11.8% drop rate from PFF.
Yeah.
Also pretty concerning as well. But again, a lot of body catches.
I think there's a lot more questions than answers when it comes to Quentin Johnson.
For sure.
Because you're looking at this guy, and 6'3", 208, we're going to keep mentioning this. He's supposed to contested catches, be a menace in the middle of the field, breaking tackles, getting off the line, catching touchdowns, red zone. Only caught 6 of Max Duggan's 32 touchdown passes this past season. That is very concerning from a national championship team. Your number one wide receiver should have a little more production in the red zone. So there's no question that he has the potential to be the number one receiver in this class when it's all said and done. But there are a lot more questions than answers, and people are going to have to take a shot in the dark here and hope that he's going to be able to transform his game, make these small... They're small changes. You make these small changes and things completely change for him. But, you're going to have to take a shot in the dark here if you're going to take him over any of these other guys.
Yeah. So the comp I like that, also Hayden Winks had and mentioned was Martavius Bryant, who, coming into the league, 6'4", 210, so 6'3", 208, pretty similar. Spent time with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3 seasons in Pittsburgh, 1 season with the Oakland, at the time, Raiders.
Yep.
But never really panned out to much. I mean, his first season, 21 yards per reception, had 8 touchdowns in Pittsburgh. That fell to 6, then fell to 3, then fell to 0 touchdowns with the Raiders. So a quick burnout, but still a traditional X wide receiver. That's the type of a comparison that we're going to see from Quentin Johnson. But now we'll pull up. There we go. Now we'll pull up the film on Quentin Johnson from TCU of what they were able to use out of him. So again, a lot of these plays on the left side of the line of scrimmage, far left X wide receiver, and also a lot of middle of the field work that Quentin Johnson did. So not a lot. Couple screens here and there, but I want to see once we start getting to like the straight, down the field, there's a big play. Still going.
Yeah, I mean the down the field balls, that's where I've got a little bit of concern for him, because we've seen he's able to create a little bit of separation, get in the middle of the field and make the catch. The question is he able to beat a guy one-on-one and then make the catch down the field?
Yeah.
Because that's where he is going to, if he can figure it out, that's where he's going to thrive, and that's where quarterbacks are going to absolutely love this guy. They've got a receiver that can make a drag route across the middle of the field and make the catch. That's not what they're drafting Quentin Johnson for. They're drafting him for his size. So we'll see if he can do that, because we've seen flashes. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if he can do it consistently, that's going
to
be the key.
So I'm going to go back to this play here in particular. They moved him now right side of the formation in the slot, and they have him go up and do just a very, you know, pretty shallow corner route. But guy draped all over him, and he still made the catch down the field, going back to it as well. You know, Max Duggan put it right on him, back of the end zone. Guy, again, draped all over him and was able to make the catch. So if he can consistently do that, that's unlocking you can have in Quentin
Johnson. He's got an insane catch radius as well. It's just his consistency in actually bringing the ball in. That's going to be the key, because we've seen him make absurd plays like that catch there. That was a great play, great awareness to adjust with the ball midair and able to make that catch on the at the end of the end zone. But again, 11% drop rate, inconsistency with contested balls. If he can do that all the time, number one receiver in this class.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't, he's dropping.
And I think a very underrated part of his game as well that you see out of a lot of these plays is his after-the-catch work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that spin move he has after the catch is pretty killer that he implements where, you know, the first guy on him is missing.
Yeah, he's
pretty much
deadly
every time.
When he gets open field and he's got the ability to get around defenders, it props to him. He's got it.
Yeah.
I'm taking him almost 9 out of 10 times I'm taking him to beat the guy. So don't get me wrong. There are plenty of positives.
Yeah.
On this
the
guy.
Question is whether or not he can get that ball in his hand to
yep.
begin with.
Exactly. And if he can't do that, he can't show off that ability to get around defenders.
Which is something, you know, you can see at an NFL level where you give him those manufactured touches, an easy play, you know, an easy throw, easy catch, and then let him do something maybe afterwards with his size and with his frame to make a play. Isn't something TCU implemented, but it's something in, you know, another offense can implement. My mock draft, I had him going to the Baltimore Ravens. I think a pretty good comp. Pretty good duo with potentially Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar coming in with that Ravens team, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley, Trey Lance,
whoever
potentially might be the quarterback in Baltimore this year. But I had him as that fit to the Baltimore Ravens with that first overall pick that they have late in the 20s, which is kind of, you know, the area I see QJ, if you will, falling into that first round as a potential, you know, late or early 20s, late teens guy, but nowhere near, you know, kind of the top of the board in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much what it is. The ceiling is probably 13, 14, I would say, is the ceiling for him in the draft. I mean, he could drop as far as 31. I think he's going to get in the first round because I think there are going to be teams that are going to draft wide receivers here. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to get drafted. I think Jordan Addison. I think Zay Flowers. I think these guys are going to go first round. And I think there's going to be at least four guys out of there, and he will be that fourth guy at least. But, yeah, no, I agree with that. Late teens, early 20s is probably where he's going to fall.
All right, so next up on our list and on our agenda that we will be discussing today is going to be Jordan Addison. You just hit on a little bit. Pittsburgh, he was a guy who, I believe at Pittsburgh, won the Biletnikoff Award, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Nation's best wide receiver at Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett in that offense, then transfers over this year to USC with Caleb Williams and had a pretty decent year. And honestly, USC and Lincoln Riley unlocked a lot more in his game than Pittsburgh did. I mean, you look at the stats, in 2021, 68% in the slot at USC during his time, 76% on the outside. A lot of range of routes that he was able to run, slants, crossers, outs, deep balls, and also some of the best hands in this year's class.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dropped two passes out of 62 balls in his entire college career. The major size for him, or disadvantage for him, is the size. 6 foot, 180, and also the speed as well. We haven't really seen so far from these top guys.
Yeah, I mean, he possesses plenty of athleticism and speed. It might not be top end again, as we've mentioned, but his he's got great ability. He's got good footwork, and actually, I think him going to USC was a great decision because, as you mentioned, he was primarily, even though it wasn't like, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba level percentage, he was still primarily a slot guy at Pitt. And then being able to move to the outside, huge. Now teams have been able to see him as a primary outside guy and a primary inside guy. And that just gives so much more value to NFL scouts and GMs to be able to see what he can do as the number one guy in each of those positions. And, you know, he's got plenty of good qualities. I mean, he's able to run complex route. He accelerates through the stems for separation of the post. I mean, he's got punt return experience, so that's something that a team will like. If you draft him in the first round, you might not want to use him immediately as a number one guy. You have him as your number three receiver and have him take some punt returns and kick returns. I mean, he's got plenty of value as a receiver, and I think he's easily a first-round guy here.
Yeah, I really want to see him put some weight on as he goes, you know, closer to the start of the season and whichever team, you know, brings him in and potentially the first round. But the one thing he does excel at, in my opinion, is his catch point. Plucks the ball out of the air, and also, despite his size, survives a lot of tough contact. I mean, there's a lot of plays that we're going to pull up here where he's getting absolutely bodied after the catch, but he holds on to it. He stays strong after the catch, or, you know, through the catch. But here, the first bit of film we have is back with Kenny Pickett at Pittsburgh. So a lot of what they were able to run, and I think this game against Georgia Southern, I believe. So pretty easy competition. Back when he had, you know, his stellar season in 2 years back. So here we go, some deep plays as well. I mean, look at these, getting absolutely hammered after catching the ball.
Yeah.
But back with Kenny Pickett.
He doesn't have great strength. That is something that
yeah, I want to see him put some more weight on. But, I mean, he holds onto the ball.
Yeah.
He does his job.
He makes the catches. That's the important thing. He makes the catches. He creates separation. And, I mean, that's really what you're looking for. If he can add some more weight to be able to break a few more tackles and be able to actually have explosive plays, that would be nice. But, I mean, still, he's consistent with catching the football. He's able to make some tough catches. And, you know, he's able to get what you need.
Yeah, so here we are now at USC with this offense with Lincoln Riley, with Caleb Williams. So to see the difference of how they utilize him, more so on the outside than, you know, some of the slot work he did at Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, I mean, he looks really good. Yeah. I mean, from both positions, he's been able to do it. And he's a good player. We saw what he was able to do with Kenny Pickett in 2021, and now he's been able to do it with a completely other team and pretty much a brand new offense with new head coach, new system implemented there, and he was able to thrive. So that says a lot for an NFL team perspective, seeing him being able to go into a brand new situation and really not lose a step, go in there, no one really knows what's going on, and he was able to thrive. So that's big to him and could make an impact easily. I think he's probably a teens pick.
Yeah.
I don't think he makes it into the 20s. Obviously, Pittsburgh's a location people have been talking about a lot. Reconnect with Kenny Pickett. And obviously, there are plenty of other teams that could use a wide receiver. If he does make it in the 20, Baltimore Ravens is another option for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens definitely in that market for one. I had him going to the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Right after the Ravens, I had the Ravens getting Quentin Johnson at 23. At 24, I had Minnesota snagging Jordan Addison. Minnesota desperately needs some wide receiver help.
Yeah.
I mean, losing Adam Thielen, I talked about it on the blog as well. You can find, you know, on our Twitter page pinned at the top of the profile. After Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Powell.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. Not ideal at all, as I just, you know, literally wrote, not ideal at all at the end of the block on that one. But Jordan Addison's one that can, you know, come into Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell offense, and, you know, as his, you know, projection, maybe a Darnell Mooney, a little bit of Deontay Johnson in his game as well, with his size and what he's able to do. But definitely some suitors out there. And he's going to go around, you know, the Quentin Johnson. I think Njigba goes, you know, in the early teens, someone's going to pounce on him quick. You know, the Titans maybe pounce on him quick. And then we're going to have a couple, you know, as I have in my mock draft, I think we're going to have a little bit of a lull.
Yep.
And then people are going to start jumping back on these guys really quick toward the end of the first round. So Addison's going to fall within that range as well.
There could easily be 3 or 4, maybe even 5 wide receivers picked post-20 in this first round, half of the last 11 picks. So definitely look for that. Because, yeah, I agree. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba so far is really the only one that I could see being a top 15 pick in this class. Skill-wise, as you know, wide receiver Zay Flowers is my number one guy, but when you're looking at what you want in a wide receiver that's a top 15 pick, you want a number one receiver. Zay Flowers might not fit that mold, but yeah, plenty. There's going to be a lot of receivers going late in this first round.
Zay Flowers, the floor is yours, Matt. Take it away.
I mean, okay, we know everybody's concerned. He's 5'9", 182. Not the biggest guy, but my God, can he play football. He is so... I mean, his routes are extremely quick, and they're able to maintain momentum through his turns there. He's arguably the best deep ball receiver in this class. I think his ability to get up and make contested catches, better than the 6'3 Quentin Johnson. He works back to the throw when needed to. He's extremely slippery and a great open field runner. I mean, he's good. I mean, his overall ball skill... the one thing I would say is his hands are not great, but his overall ball skills are probably the best in this class. He's extremely good there. And I mean, the weaknesses, he's just short. He's smaller. He's one of the smaller guys, but that's something that you have to work with. That you're drafting him not because of his size. You're drafting him because of the player he is, and you're able to work that into your system. So for a team that is looking for this guy, he is the best receiver in this class. And I don't think there's a question about it.
Yeah, I mean, his size is a concern for a lot of people. I'm the same way. Not a concern for me. This guy has inside-outside versatility.
Yep.
And this guy's probably the most competitive wide receiver in this year's class. And at the catch point, you know, whether it's after the catch, you know, running through somebody if he needs to, blowing somebody up if he needs to as a blocker, the competitiveness is there. The skill set is there. The only thing you're knocking him on is his size. Overall, he is one of the most enticing prospects. Yep. Especially at this position, in my opinion, in this year's class. I mean, the two, you know, you look at the two comparisons. At his full potential, Antonio Brown and Steve Smith.
Yep.
Two Hall of Fame, prolific, explosive, turn the TV on, you're watching him type of guy. And we're knocking him because of his size?
Exactly.
We've seen this before many of times. Why are we still doing this? Year after year, Zay Flowers is a dog.
Oh,
flat
yeah.
out, I put it on Twitter. He is a dog at Boston College and played in a awful offense, horrendous quarterback play, and continued to make terrific plays game in and game out for Boston College this year.
And someone is going to get great value on Zay Flowers, because as we mentioned, Jackson Smith and Jigba is probably going to be the first one off the board, because he's got the best mix of size and skill. That's what you're looking for in the number one receiver in the class. You are looking for the best overall wide receiver, and Jackson Smith and Jigba gives you that. Then you're looking at a bunch of teams that need a number two wide receiver and may not want to deal with the 5'9 height. They may want to go up and get, because for example, you're talking about the Minnesota Vikings. They've got their skill wide receiver. They might want someone that's a little bigger. They might want to go for a Quentin Johnson, who is 6'3", and have more of a jump ball kind of guy. Zay Flowers, he's probably going to go somewhere between 23 and 31. He is going to go late first round, and that team is going to be the happiest team 10 years from now, when he could potentially be that Steve Smith, Antonio Brown type of player. I mean, I'm scared that he drops to 31 to the Chiefs. I am scared that that could happen, because my God, the Kansas City Chiefs could potentially just lock up the Super Bowl with that pick.
So let's see, there's 31 first-round picks.
Yep.
They're at 31. So that makes 29 teams in front of them? No, 30 teams. Well,
less
hang on,
than
let's do the math here.
There's
so 32,
the
we're
Lions,
taking out...
The Lions?
30.
Yeah, 30 teams.
30 teams, yeah, because we're taking out Miami with the forfeited first-round pick,
yep,
and taking out the Chiefs. 30 teams. Do not let that happen.
No.
Do not let him go to the Chiefs. Please, dear Lord, do not let that happen.
And there are plenty of teams that are going to be able to draft him. Looking at the New York Giants.
Yes.
Looking at the Dallas Cowboys. We're looking at potentially the Buffalo Bills if they want to go wide receiver. We're talking about the Minnesota Vikings, Baltimore Ravens, maybe even the Los Angeles Chargers. There are plenty. That's just to name a few teams. There are so many teams that could use a wide receiver. And for a guy that potentially could have, probably has the highest ceiling in this class, you got to go for him. I mean, you have to take that risk. Once you get down to 20, it's about trying to find the gems in the first round, and he is potentially one of those gems.
So you talked about a team in particular where I had Zay Flowers falling in not only my first mock draft, but my second one in New York.
That's where I have him with in my last one, yep.
With the Giants, a team that seems like they're going to run it back after a 9-7-1 season where they got a playoff berth, won a playoff game, got Daniel Jones a lot of money because of it, but ran it back with that same team pretty much where I don't know if that was the right call. You know, you bring back, extend Daniel Jones, you tag Saquon Barkley, you re-sign Darius Slayton, you re-sign Sterling Shepard, you re-sign Isaiah Hodgins, you bring in Paris Campbell, and the big one here, trading for Darren Waller, was the only big addition this team has really made this offseason. If you really want to go out and capitalize on this offense with Daniel Jones, you add Zay Flowers to that room.
Oh, yeah.
And add him to that wide receiver and move him around the formation with Waller, with Slayton, with Sterling Shepard, who's bound to get hurt by week three.
Yeah.
Just add him to that offense. And Joe Schoen met with all five wide receivers. He met with Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, Hyatt, Tyler Scott, and Rakeem Jarrett. Zay Flowers needs to be on his radar.
And, I mean, it just makes so much sense for so many reasons. One, he's a wide receiver, and the Giants don't have wide receivers. And two, we've seen Daniel Jones. He has made strides over the past few years, but he still is not a mid-to-deep throw quarterback. He's going to throw a lot of crossers across the middle, a lot of slants, a lot of outside, just short little out routes. Zay Flowers, one of the best when it comes to open field work. He's extremely slippery. He's able to make defenders miss, and he does have very good speed. So being able to get him the ball in the middle of the field on a 5 to 10 yard crosser, that's going to turn it into a 20 to 30 yard play on occasion. Mm-hmm. So he is a big weapon, and it just makes a lot of sense if he gets down to the Giants pick for him to go there.
All right, so let's pull up some film here from Boston College, and again, a horrendous offense that they ran with this quarterback and with this system. But here we have just what we're looking at. A lot of formation usage, 33% out of the slot, also out wide. There's some sweeps like this on the first play. Actually got into the end zone on that play, which is an incredible dive by him. But there's some double moves. There's some shifty run after the catch. I mean, he had a double move there. And this one, a dog. Over the dude's back. How you doing?
He's a football guy. That's what he is.
Yeah, yick him up. But some shifty run after the catch as well. There's some screens in here. So this is what we have from him right now. Some deep balls as well. This is the same play again right here. Yeah, just over the shoulder.
Two defenders closing in on him.
This guy's 5'10", remind you. We're knocking this guy not having big play potential because he's 5'10".
Two
guys on him 40 yards downfield and still made a play.
I mean, just watching this film gets me excited to watch this guy in the NFL. If he slips out of the first round, the New York Jets, I want them trading for pick number 32. That is what I want, because there is no way this guy should get out of the first round. And if he does, every team should be trading for 32 to get this guy, because he is that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know we are hyping him up a lot, and if he doesn't pan out, this is going to look awful, but he's just that good coming out of college. And as you mentioned, a very, very bad offense in BC, and he still just looks absolutely amazing. I mean, he just looks like an NFL, like, top dog. There's just not enough good things to say about this guy.
Yeah.
And with the amount of people just hating on him because of his size and, like, saying that he's, not a first-round guy, he's not going to be a top-level wide receiver, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And the other thing, with the dog mentality, there's some plays that, the play before this we just saw where there is a absolute dog pile on top of him.
Yep.
There's, five guys, and that pile is still moving.
Yep.
Again, this guy, at his size, 5'10", 172 pounds, moving a pile of linebackers, corners, safeties, barely getting any push from any of his teammates because, again, quite frankly, this offense wasn't good. They didn't necessarily know what they were doing half the time. Zay Flowers is the beast.
Yeah.
And again, you said we're hyping him up a lot. hoping this pans out well because of that. But some team's going to be very happy to, you know, land him in this first round.
He's my favorite player in this draft, and I'll tell you, I don't care where he goes, I will be watching very intently on every game this upcoming season just to watch. He's just so exciting to watch. He really
playmaker.
Is.
I mean, turn on the TV, must-see television.
For sure.
When the ball's in his hands. So next up, we have a Tennessee guy, Matt, Jalen Hyatt. And Hyatt, the Biletnikoff Award winner this year, one of the most dynamic receivers in the SEC and in college football this year. Nimble, explosive athlete, and he has the acceleration you're looking for with an offense. Downfield guy, has the speed necessary to win any foot race and get behind defenders. And, you know, some teams are looking for this within their offense. Hyatt is the one that you want. And also, blocking.
Yep.
A competitive blocker is what stood out to me on the tape as well. And, you know, reliable hands. A lot to like in this guy who, at the time, was leading the charge in the passing game with one of the the number one team in college football.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot with the first four or five guys. They don't have the top-end speed. Jalen Hyatt, he's got the top-end speed. He is one of the fastest players in this draft. He is great as a blocker. He's able to make deep catches. Now, the one thing we talked about scheme with Jackson Smith and Jigba earlier, scheme created a lot of free releases for him this year.
Yeah,
and that's
for sure.
Gonna when you're looking at film, you kind of have to put that to the side and say, take note of that, and just kind of look at him as like a how that affects him as a player. But I mean, he's extremely physical for his mm-hmm. size. He's got good deep ball awareness. He's able to adjust to catches midair. I mean, he's a good player, and there's no question he could sneak into this first round. I think from Jalen Hyatt on, I think these guys are more early second round projections with the ability to get in. For example, if we do see a big surge of wide receivers like in the middle of the first round and a team wants to trade up to get in and make sure they get him, if this is the guy they want, he could go first round. But I think as of right now, he's probably in the 30s, I would say, for pick-wise. I would say somewhere around there. There's no question, first-round ability.
Yeah, for sure. And the comp I have for him is Will Fuller.
Okay.
I think a big play guy. He's not going to be the guy you in the NFL really adjust for on defense and plan for on defense, but still a guy where if you're not paying attention, I mean, a guy whose nickname is, Flash on Pro Football Reference.
Yeah.
Will Fuller, he's taken the tops off some teams before and made some big plays. Out there right now, no one signed him for a while. He's quietly out there in free agency. Maybe they're looking at his, up-and-coming successor in Jalen Hyatt. But 6'1", 184 was Will Fuller. I have Jalen Hyatt down at 6'1", 180. Similar, body type in comparison. And I think he's going to make, the big 15, 20-yard, completions down the field. That he was able to do, and then we'll pull up here from Tennessee within this offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a credible wide receiver, too, in the NFL. I don't think he has the ceiling to be a wide receiver number one, but top-end wide receiver number two, no question about it. He's got that top-end speed. He's able to create space, and, I mean, he's able to make the big play. We saw 15 touchdowns this season at Tennessee. No matter what the scheme did for him, 15 touchdowns is impressive. No matter where you are, no matter who your quarterback is, he is a great player, and someone is going to be very happy when they get him on draft night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also extremely versatile. You don't need to just throw him deep balls, but he can get pitches, and, I mean, he's good. I mean, you can really scheme around him and try to figure out different ways to use him. He's an exciting player. He really is.
Yeah. And, again, like what we're seeing here, 12% of his receptions on pre-snap, it's considerable, not a lot.
No, yeah.
But they did move him around a lot on the formation, some slot, some Z work, but mainly served as this deep wide receiver.
Yeah. His route tree is a little limited,
yeah.
I will say. I mean, that's the only thing. Like, you can use him in different run packages. You can move him across the line of scrimmage. You can run some screens and different things like that, but you're going to have to develop that route tree a little bit in the NFL if you want him to reach his full potential. But even if you don't, he's still going to serve his purpose in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. He's going to beat a lot of corners. And, you know, that's what you're drafting him for.
Yeah, again, he's not going to be your number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have your traits to, you know, live up to being your number one wide receiver, but he can be, like you said, easily your wide receiver too within an offense, where he does his job, and he does his job very well. And we've seen players like this sneak into the first round before, you know, where a team is looking for that particular need within their offense, and they find a guy that fits it. That is where he can, you know, sneak into the back end of this first round and move in to this team. And, you know, the more complete wide receiver of this offense was Cedric Tillman, who we'll maybe highlight on toward the end if we have some time within that offense. But the deep play guy, where if the need's there within your team, he's the guy you're going to go after. So next up, we have our last and final wide receiver that we're going to film study on today and pull some film up today out of UNC in Josh Downs. And this one is your more stereotypical productive slot weapon.
Yep.
Your Hunter Renfrow, your Randall Cobb within your offense, a crafty, sudden route running wide receiver who's going to move the chain on a short yardage third down situation, and also has some contested catch ability. You know, 72% of his contested catch targets he caught.
Yep.
So he can do his job where he attacks the middle of the field and makes a catch when you need him to. Limited ceiling, but a high floor where you know you're getting out of him, and it's very, very coveted on an NFL franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a very sure wide receiver. You know, you know what you're getting. You know how you're going to use him. And I think that what's going to push him up draft boards is his ability on special teams. You know, you're going to be looking at guys, you know, you're going to look at Cedric Tillman. You're going to look at Josh Downs. You're going to look at Jalin Hyatt. You're going to be looking at these guys. If they're all available, which one do you want? Josh Downs might get the little push because of, one, as you said, high floor. Two, his ability to work on special teams and be very, very effective in special teams. So if you're looking at a guy that you want to make an impact immediately on the football field, and you don't care if it's on offense or in special teams, that's the guy that's going to get the call. I mean, he's got great quickness. He's got long speed. He's got surprising toughness for his size. I mean, he's not the biggest guy out there, but, I mean, he's a great player, and he's going to make an impact immediately on the football field in the NFL.
All right, well, let's go ahead and pull up what we have on Downs. And from the film, what we saw, again, mainly slot, few pre-snap movements where they, you know, kind of try to move him around the formation, only a 3% drop rate. But this guy, when we pull it up, found absolute holes within the defense.
Yep.
I mean, a third down, if you're going to play zone coverage against this guy, you're losing. He sits in holes very effectively, has a tremendous feel for the, you know, the field and for coverages, and can find a hole. I mean, there's times where he sat in a hole, a safety came down behind him, and he, like, it was like a third, like a sixth sense.
Yep.
He moved and was in another hole within an instant, and Drake May was able to find him for, you know, 15-yard first down play. So absolute zone busting machine is what he was able to do. You have to put a guy on him on third down in the NFL whenever he gets on whatever NFL team he lands with.
Yeah, he's got great hands. He's got great awareness, as you mentioned. His ability to just find openings
is insane. And catches the ball.
Yep.
And what more do you need?
And, I mean, he can break tackles. He's got good open field play. He's nowhere near the top of the class in that category, but he has the ability to make big plays, and that's what you're going to be looking for in this kind of a steal kind pick. You're going to reach on you don't need to reach on him at all. Yeah. He is a second round pick. You're going to get him in the second round. If you really want him, you'll get him between 27 and 31.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get him. He's a great wide receiver, and a team is going to be very happy with him once they get his name.
So here's the play here against Virginia.
Yep.
You know, out of the slot, goes over the middle of the field, sits right there. You know, not quite the middle of the field, you know, closer to that, you know, right hash, but sits there. That safety comes over him, moves over toward the numbers, and Drake May finds him. I mean, he felt the contention there in that zone, got out of his, you know, out of that spot, found a different one, you know, ad lib on the move where, you know, play might have busted down. Drake May was having to, you know, evacuate the pocket, and he was there for his quarterback.
Yeah. Just his ability to anticipate that safety coming in to try to catch that ball, and him just wait for the perfect moment. He waits for that first step to come towards him, and then he just accelerates
gone behind him.
It's he's just such a high IQ player, and that's the kind of guy you want when you're in that 27 to 31 range in the first round. You are Super Bowl contender teams.
Yeah.
You are Super Bowl contending teams most of the time, and you are just looking for that difference maker. You're not looking for the explosive guy because those guys are gone for the most part. Those top line guys are gone. Josh Downs is the kind of player that you look at and you're like, late in games, big time moments, this is the guy that's going to make those kind of plays. The smart plays. Not the big plays, the smart plays. And, I mean, he is going to be that kind of player that we're going to look back and say, remember that play? I mean, just amazing.
I mean, he's definitely like, you're talking the situational guy where late fourth quarter, you know, you have 50 seconds on the clock and you need to get in the field goal range.
Yep.
Josh Downs is making 2 to 3 receptions on that drive.
Oh, no question.
He's going to be there for his quarterback. He's going to be reliable at the catch, get down, keep moving the ball down the field. That is what we like to see from Josh Downs and, you know, what he's able to bring. And, again, we're talking about him last because he's the one where it would be a surprise to sneak into the first round, in my opinion. But early second round, for sure, his name's coming off the board.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he's a great value pick late in the first round, early second round.
Yeah. So that's our top ones that we have, Matt. There's some others out there that, you know, are pretty decent. I talked about Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee. You know, a big, you know, bigger body wide receiver compared to Jalen Hyatt, but a lot more of a route stem from what he was able to do. Strong, confident hands as well, and, you know, can put him in motion as well that Tennessee did. So he's out there for a team to consider once you start dwindling down the list of some of these guys. Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati, any more that you particularly have in mind?
I mean, yeah, so there's a few guys that you want to look at. I mean, there's some of the bigger names in Kayshon Boutte. There's Rashee Rice, Rakeem Jarrett. The two guys that I really like in particular are Tank Dell and Marvin Mims. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tank Dell, one of the fastest players in this draft. He scored 14 touchdowns in his final 9 games with Houston. I mean, I think the best comparison would probably be a Darnell Mooney type player.
Yeah.
He's really good there. He did have 21 drops over the last 2 seasons, which is a little bit of a concern. But if you're going for mid-second round, absolute steal. Then Marvin Mims, I've been high on him since freshman year. I think he's been really good. Again, on the shorter side, 5'11", 183, but his ability to just adjust to balls in the air and make the tough catches, great catch radius. He can line up anywhere on the field, inside, outside. He averaged 19.5 yards per catch for his entire career. That is absurd. So again, mid-second round guy, you have the ability to get him. It's going to be an absolute steal.
So some names on my list that, you know, haven't been mentioned yet as late round guys, you know, day 3 potentially guys.
Yep.
Michael Wilson out of Stanford.
Okay.
You know, had some inside outside versatility and special team experience. What really gets me going about this guy, outstanding blocker. Probably the best blocking wide receiver in this year's class. He has had some injury concerns, which is affecting him right now going into it, in his report. But also Bryce Ford Wheaton out of West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like him as a late round guy in terms of what he can bring. A very physical wide receiver over the course of his career in the Mountain Years is what the Draft Network wrote about him. The skill set was there. Nose for the end zone and nose for explosive plays were some of his top reasons to buy in that this report had. So Bryce Ford Wheaton is another one that you know, some people I've seen, you know, in the Twitter world are, you know, potentially mentioning him, putting some highlights up on Twitter as a late round guy. But, you know, the GMs, they do their research.
Yeah,
they know
I mean,
these guys are.
The GMs know what they're doing. They know when these guys are going to go. And we talked about this with the quarterbacks. There was a good amount of value there. There has been great value in previous years of that position. But when it comes to wide receiver, so many talented wide receivers that you can get after day one.
Yeah.
So many. A lot. Hey, you know, the Green Bay Packers. They haven't drafted a good wide receiver in first round in forever. You guys get them all after the first round. So, I mean, there are so many quality players that people kind of disregard, but once they get into the league, they can make their difference, and I think there's plenty of value after the guys that we talked about today.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Matt, that's the wide receivers wrapped up on a bow. So that's, you know, 2 positions down.
Yep.
And we're chugging along. I'm thinking late this week we'll, you know, come back, on YouTube at the Slaw Sports Show. If you're wanting to join, we can talk, you know, a short episode on the two running backs.
Great.
Potentially being first round picks, maybe throw some, you know, highlights, or not some highlights, but maybe throw some, you know, praise at some other ones on the list that, you know, watch out for as later round guys at the running back position. But as for next week on the show, we'll do tight ends.
Okay.
So the big,
a lot of exciting positions.
The
there.
Big guys of, you know, the real intrigue of this year's class, the tight end group. So we'll save that one for when we're back here on WSOE on Monday, and then keep chugging along, Matt. I mean, it's the third. We have quick math, 24 days.
We're getting there.
Just over
best day of the year, almost here
until draft day. So that's all we have for today. Thank you again, Matt, for joining in studio.
Thank you, sir. Always good to be here.
Great to have you in studio this time. That is all the time we have. So thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. If you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on the podcast at the Slaw Sports Show, and find highlights of the show will be posted as well on the YouTube channel for quick and easy analysis and breakdowns. If you want to, you know, look at a prospect in particular, we're going to have a tape of each one posting throughout the week of these top six guys, we talked about today. But getting closer and closer to draft day. So thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all for tuning in, whether it was on WSOE 89.3. Those of you driving on your busy Monday, have fun with the rest of your Monday. Great start to the week ahead. But until next time, that is all we have.